This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Kusi Chuang and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. I almost said Lin Mark there. This is a confusing time for me. But right now, we've actually got a poll running on Twitter. Should professional football matches restart? Right now, with 51 votes in, 10% saying yes, back to normal, 37% saying yes with SOPs, 31% saying not yet, and 22% saying they don't care. Now, these 31% obviously don't know the impact it's having on the rest of us, not having football around. But yes, my vote is yes with SOPs. Let us know what you think over on Twitter. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Kieran McGuire, football financial analyst, on the UK's move to restart live football games. But in the meantime, let's talk about the reopening of schools. School-going kids have been learning online ever since the MCO was in effect on March 18 as a part of the ongoing effort to contain the spread of COVID-19.
So more than 2 months in, students, parents and teachers have found it tough, apparently having to adapt to the new normal. Parents have to become teachers. Teachers have had to become online tutor experts. And, you know, so if the school has been, if the schools are not prepared for this, it's quite a big change, I think. And I think what who are really suffering is the public schools, who, you know, and also the kids from a lower income backgrounds, if they don't have a computer nor online access, it's going to be challenging for them.
Okay, disconcertingly, there's also no start date on when schools are to reopen, but the MOE, the Ministry of Education, has told us as parents that they will give a 2-week notice once they decide, if they decide. In the meantime, the MOE is in the midst of preparing a school management post-MCO guideline. Some of these suggestions include ensuring that everybody remains at a safe 1 meter distance from one another, splitting classrooms into two, using school spaces like empty halls for additional classes, and serving prepacked food in school canteens to prevent students from congregating, in real life, and only allowing fifth and sixth formers back to school first. Obviously, you are SPM and SDPM, right?
Yeah, so these suggested measures have drawn support and criticism from the public, with many worried about the implementation of rules on safety, hygiene and health. Others are worried about the added manpower schools need to cope with additional classes and space. And I mean, we anecdotally know already that school resources are quite strapped most of the time. Now, sharing her views about the reopening of schools is Datin Azima, the chairperson of the Parent Action Group for Education, otherwise known as PAGE. Now, Datin, thank you so much for speaking with us. With schools resorting to online learning platforms while they remain closed, what sort of feedback have you been receiving from parents and students about their new normal?
Of course, the older children get along somehow, but primary school, it can be quite disruptive, you know, and of course online learning isn't as great as if one was in school face-to-face with the teacher. And definitely parents think that there should be some kind of formal training of teachers to learn to teach online because, you know, when COVID-19 came, it was all of a sudden, right? So unless some teachers are familiar with it, most are not actually. But then we're only talking about the students who have internet at home. You know, the students who don't have internet at home, that's a different story altogether. And I think that's a majority. That's a major problem. Teachers and students who are in urban areas with good connectivity, they're fine. They are somehow or other, they will manage. Then there's that major problem of the divide between the advantage and the disadvantage students. And you see this gap widening by the day unless we quickly go back to school or we develop the digital school.
Well, we've not been very successful in the past trying to digitalize schools, and presently we still have teething issues, as you mentioned just now. Could you just tell us a bit more what's going on?
Well, I think we have to decide what we want, and definitely we have to develop digital learning for sure if we are really serious about being a developed country, one. Secondly, I mean, even if we find a vaccine and children are able to go to school again like before, we still need online learning to continue because there may be students who cannot go to school but can learn from home, you know. So and we should continue to develop online learning as a fallback because you never know, we could be struck by another pandemic. There are many lessons to be learned from this experience. We need to invest and invest heavily in digital online learning. And it may be not just internet connectivity. We also need to think about gadgets and devices. You know, YouTube is a fantastic learning tool. It's also powerful and it does not crash. We should also be looking at, say, SD cards, where before storage was a problem, and this is a solution. You know, so there are many, many approaches that we can take, but we must be serious about investing heavily. And this, I think, is the problem.
It's been no picnic for teachers. They've had to become online tutors overnight. And when schools reopen, they're likely to be overworked, as they have to double their classes, double their admin work, also while taking care of the students' well-being. How do we ensure, Datin, that they don't burn out?
The NUTP has come up with some suggestions which look workable. But I think at the moment, it's anyone's guess as to how things are going to pan out when schools open. Priority has to be given to the exam years, SPM and STPM. And in primary school, even though UPSR has been put aside, the standard sixes will probably need to go to school as well. So at that point, it's probably still manageable, but slowly there will be some kind of serious change of timetabling so that, you know, maybe children may not need to come in every day. Maybe even, you know, a day a week. And then the rest of the learning is done online. So teachers definitely will be challenged. But I think we're all being challenged under this pandemic, not just teachers. Even sitting at home for 2 months, it can be quite taxing.
Now, you're suggesting a hybrid method moving forward then, a mix of learning physically at school and digitally at home too. So what needs to be done to get our act together in making the learning and teaching process of schools a sustainable one?
Yeah, I think the focus should be on the rural students who are disadvantaged in terms of devices and connectivity. Where that investment comes in, I think the private sector should come in as well and provide what is necessary for the rural students. A lot of rural students don't come to school because schools are not accessible or parents cannot take them to school. There are various reasons, you know. So you can still ensure that the child is being taught without having to go to school. So, you know, instead of thinking about how we can solve the problem of getting children to school, let the school come to the child with all this technology coming into the homes. I think it's important we see how other countries are managing, you know, with open schools. Britain has open schools, Japan, South Korea, Germany also, I think. But they are also seeing second wave. So I think we have to learn from them and not be too optimistic about going back to what was before.
Thank you for your time, Datin. That was Datin Azima, the chairperson of the Parent Action Group for Education, otherwise known as PAGE. And really, I think that that hybrid model is very interesting, right? Learning physically at school, but also having that digital element, kind of just trying to merge the best of both worlds, kind of like what we're trying to do in the working world as well. But what do you guys think?
Well, that's what they call blended learning, right? Blended as in online and offline. I think in reality, that's like the ideal situation to have. But I think in reality, it may be difficult because, you know, the focus in schools, especially government schools, is about, you know, getting kids through their exams, you know, passing SPM. And yeah, but what I think is if there's a will, there's a way, right? You know, if students just need to learn on their own and be independent, it just has to be the case. And but of course, maybe the more middle class and above kids will be okay because the parents will step in and try to fill a gap there. But I think the lower income children where parents have just too busy, they may not have the bandwidth to help their children.
Yeah, I mean, conceptually at least. You know, as with most things, everything's got a substantive element and a form element, right? And if the Ministry of Education were to be on the front foot in the last 2 months, they would have taken the last 2 months as a period to be constructive about how education should be reformed and to be transformed. And everything from the syllabus to the content of what they're teaching to the platforms over which they deliver education should have been relooked at. But I'm not sure whether they have had the temerity to do that at all.
Yes, and speaking about restarting things, we've got a poll running on Twitter. Should professional football matches restart? You can let us know over on Twitter. And right now, we're going into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. When we come back, we'll be speaking about the situation in Indonesia with Eldon Iswanto. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.